Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. And the devil is still a bad devil. This morning is a joy and a privilege to be here with you and just to share God's word with you this morning. And I'm so happy and thankful to the Lord to bringing me here. And also, I think I came last time almost 5 years ago. And wow, your place is fantastic. And just the blessing of the Lord on you as you are just transitioning and moving and being in this place. And just expect God to do great things. Amen? Amen. Expect God to do great things. This morning I want to share just a simple message, something that is just simple and practical. Is that okay? Just share some thoughts that are in my heart. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter number 3 this morning. Open your Bible in the middle, go right, and you'll find it. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3 this morning. We're just going to read maybe about 4 verses that are there. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3, we'll read verses 12 to 16 this morning. If you found it, I'm going to read it. Verse number 12. It says, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse number 13. Brethren, also means sisterin, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on the some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. And I like verse 16. It says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Another translation says, let us live up to what we have already learned. Simply meaning that whatever we have learned, let's bring our life in line with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. And this morning, Holy Spirit, as I stand, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through my mouth, think through my thoughts, I pray. And release life in the lives of your people, I pray. Release medicine for those that are hurting. Release direction for those that need direction. And this morning, in all that happens in this place, we'll make sure all the glory, the honor, and the praise comes to you, O God. I bind every spirit of distraction to be out of this place. And I ask just a free flow of revelation and understanding to all of us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. You know, years ago, this man got in a car accident. And when he got in an accident, you know, he damaged several parts of his body. And one of the things, parts that he really damaged was his nose. His nose was badly crushed. But they brought in a masterful surgeon to really reconstruct his whole face. And matter of fact, he really wanted his nose to be a particular way. You know, I was reading the other day that one of the top 3 things that people don't like about themselves, one of the first things they don't like is their nose. You know, some people, they want like a nice pointed nose, you know. And so he took upon this chance to really, as they were reconstructing the whole face, that he would reconstruct his nose and want the nose that he really wanted, you know. And so they showed him some pictures and things like that. And they said, well, you know, and he chose a particular style of nose that he wanted, you know. And so they went into surgery and things. And this surgeon, what he did is took a piece of ear cartilage. He took a piece of ear cartilage that was there and masterfully reconstructed the whole nose, nice and long and pointed, exactly the way this man wanted. Because he always hated his nose anyway. You know, and so he did a nice, masterful job. And when you looked at the nose, you're like, wow, how could they really reconstruct this whole nose according to just the pictures that he saw and the way this man wanted? But the problem was this. The problem was that that piece of ear cartilage that was taken from this side, put it on the nose, never forgot that it's an ear cartilage, not a nose. And every few years, this man's nose would get plump, soft, just like the ear cartilage. Am I making sense? And so every 2-3 years, this man had to go in surgery. True story. Go in surgery, and they would again reform, remake the nose. Why? Because that piece of ear cartilage was not designed to be on the... It was designed to be on the... Am I making sense to you this morning? In the same manner, every one of us, God has put a divine DNA, a design, a direction, a purpose in our hearts, in our life. And we become restless in life till we are in the right place, till we are doing what God has called us to do, till we begin to fulfill the deposits of God in our life. We might look good like the nose for a while, but we'll try to go back. There's a sense of unrestlessness. There's a sense of unsettledness, unfulfillment. Even in church. Just because you're saved and you're a Christian doesn't mean you're happy. There are a lot of Christian people unhappy. They're only happy that they're going to heaven, but on earth they're unhappy. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Why? Because there is a sense of unsettledness, unfulfillment that is there in their life. That am I really being the person God's designed me to be? Interesting thing, I was reading the other day that of all the suicides that happen during the year, the most amount of suicide rate that increases is in the months from December 15 to January 31st. Everywhere in the world, the highest rate of suicide that happens is from December 15 to January 31st. And one of the reasons that the suicide rate is so high from December 15 to January 31st, because all around the world, whether it's Chinese New Year, whether it's New Year's, whether it's Christmas time, families get together. And suddenly there is a confrontation between families, and suddenly they begin to view their life. It's not so much about the season. It's not so much about because it's Christmas or New Year's. It's so much about they look at their life. And they realize internally, outside they might be smiling, but internally they realize that nothing really has changed in my life. Nothing really has changed in my marriage. Nothing has really changed in what I'm doing the same thing over and over again, just in a different way. Are you understanding? And a sense of depression sets in the hearts of people. Because please understand, every one of us, we are designed, we are programmed to grow in life, whatever it is, whether it's our finances, whether it's our relationship, whatever, we want to know. Are we better today than we were yesterday? You know, while I was growing up, and I don't know if you did this with your kids or whether you did it yourself, that while we were growing up in our kitchen, what we used to do is, we used to go to the wall when our birthdays were, and on a birthday we would stand against the wall and they would mark us, you know. 4 feet 2 inches, 19 foot, you know. No, 1986. You know, and then when our birthday came next year, you know, we would again go to that same wall mark, you know, 1989, you know, 4 feet 6 inches. And so, wow, in 3 years birthday, wow, I've grown 4 inches. You know, we used to do that when we were kids, you know, and then we'll grow. It's like, wow, in 5 years, I've grown like 7 inches. And it will be so, it will be such a sense of fulfillment that, wow, I'm really growing. Doesn't matter what people say, I measured it myself. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? In the same manner, people want to look at their life. They want to look at how they behave. They want to look at how they do relationships. How do they do finance? What is the purpose, the call, the direction, the sense of, am I growing? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Am I really growing? Or am I behaving the same way I used to behave? When problems come, when stuff happens, is there a sense of growth? And when there is no sense of growth, depression kicks in. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And we become, our eyesight's always down, and we lose hope in life. We lose the dream that God put in our hearts. We are in what we call survival mentality. What's happening? It's okay. Are you excited about life? I'm okay. There's no joy in people's life. There's no sense of purpose and direction. Why? Because there's no sense of growth. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? No sense of growth in their life that they can measure their life by. They can measure and they look at it, you know what? Wow, if this thing happened to me 2 years ago, I would be, you know, I would blow up, I'd get angry, I would do, but look at me today. I'm not like that. Wow, I'm surprised. Something must have happened in my heart, in my ways. People want to look at their life and see that they are growing. Am I making sense to you? They are growing. And I want to just take some thoughts this morning. As Paul is talking to the Philippine church, he lays down some basic principles that I want to draw from this morning and just share something that is practical with you. Can I do that? Just something practical with you this morning. And hopefully, please understand, before we go into this, let me say another thing for you to understand what I'm going to talk about. Whenever God wants us to grow, whenever God wants us to change, whatever God wants to do in our life, first and foremost, He always uses His Word. Amen? He speaks a word into our life. He tells us, listen, don't go this way, go this way. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? He warns us, He directs us, He puts faith in our life, He puts direction. How? First and foremost, always, always, always through the Word of God. Amen? It's when the Word of God comes to us and it just breaks us. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It comes in our life and it breaks down all every belief system and you know, wow, that was for me. Are you understanding what I mean? I mean, the Word of God comes like a hammer. The Word of God, something internal, there is change in our lives. Amen? But the problem is that step one. Now, just because something came does not mean it changes until we know how to respond to it. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? We are not just hearers of it, but we are doers of it. But there are some good godly Christian people. They bypass stage one. God's word has come to them, but they still don't obey. God's word has come to them, but they still don't line up. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That's why Paul says, at least bring your life up what you've already learned. So what happens? They go to what I call stage number two. What happens in stage number two? Now, no longer it's internal, just the word comes. Now what happens? Something external happens. They lose a job. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? They fall into a trap. There is a crisis in their health. There is a crisis in their finances. Did God do it? Absolutely not. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? But they bypass the first thing that God sent to them, the Word. Are you understanding? And when they pushed away the Word, they, you know, it's like paddle their own boats. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? To the second stage. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Second stage. Now, something external has taken place. And all God hopes is this. I hope these people understand what's happening. And they look to me. And go back to stage number one. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I hope they don't say, well, it's the devil. It's not the devil. It's you took the second step down. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Something external has happened. And all God is saying, I hope this is like a wake-up call to you. Listen, go back because I prefer always, always to use my word to help you grow. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? But they go second. And God hopes, listen, I hope you look at your circumstances and see, I hope you change. Nothing happens. And so what? They're like good, godly Christian people. It's okay. It's just the economic crisis. It's happening everywhere in the world. And so they justify. So what happens? They go to what I call stage number three. Stage number three is a person. It's like Saul in the Bible, where he has lost the anointing. But his gift still functions. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? He was still prophesying, but he had no anointing on his life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He was still king, but God had already rejected him. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? These are people, sometimes in their life, they come to church, they're worshiping God. Draw me close to you. And they worship and singing, and they once in a while, they feel God's presence. Once in a while. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Once in a while. Their gift functions, but God is not with them. And so never be fooled by people just because their gift functions. The presence of the Lord is not upon their life. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? The presence of the Lord is not upon their life. Am I making sense to you? But again, they are good, godly people. They still don't realize. Are you understanding? So they go to what I call step number four. Step number four, suddenly shame comes to them. Why? They don't have to go this route. They could have changed in number one. Because God sent His word. Am I making sense to you? To speak to them, to help them, to direct them. All they had to do was line up their life. Am I making sense to you? They don't. And number five, what happens is we begin to self-destruct. Everything we do, every decision that we make, it's what we want. And so Paul says like this to this kind of people, listen, I have handed them over to the devil. Meaning to say, they can have whatever they want. God is not involved now. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Did God push them away? Absolutely not. Who walked that path? They themselves did. Why? Because they constantly rejected what God was speaking in their life. But are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And so as we are about the end of the last week of the first month of this year, we still got 11 months to go this year. And I want to tell you this morning, you can have a great year in God. There is nobody in the world that wants to see you successful as much as God wants to see you successful. There's nobody that wants to see you grow as much as God wants to see you grow. Amen. There's nobody that wants you to enjoy relationships like God wants you to enjoy relationships. Amen. God is your greatest fan. Amen. God is your greatest encourager. Amen. And so I want to talk about basic things that are there in the scripture. Just a few things that I want to speak into your life this morning. Simplest things. The Bible says the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. Amen. Sometimes we are looking for, you know, some big revelation. But it's the simple things that change our life. Amen. So can I give you like 4 or 5 things I talk about this morning? Is that okay? Huh? What will cause me to grow? What will cause my 2012 to be a different year than last year or the last 5 years of your life? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Well, simple things. Let's talk about it this morning. Number one, and when I talk about certain things, I want you to just kind of open your mouth and respond to me. Because there's a reason what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say. And so let's start. Number one. Basically, number one, initiate change in your life. Initiate change in your life. Now, would you do me a favor? Look at your neighbor right now. I know it might require faith, but look at them in the eye right now. I say, neighbor, initiate changes in your life. Amen. You see, Nikki, what do you mean? Well, let's talk about it right now. You know, I meet people and I talk to them, stuff that's happening in their life now and in the past and where they want to go. And when I look at people, I say, you know, what if there was an autobiography written about you? I mean, right now you're writing your own biography. What would be the title? 2 words. Would it be something like this? Number one, I am stuck. I'm stuck in life. I don't know. I'm trying. I can move forward. I can move back. I can move left. I'm just stuck in life. I don't know what to do. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I'm stuck. I've not seen any progress. I've not seen any momentum. Please understand, movement does not mean progress. You can go in circle. There's movement. But it's not progress. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You say, I am stuck. Or you might be the other person. You say, well, you know what? I am, my book title will be, I am frustrated. I tried everything that I know to do. And nothing's working. Or you might be the other person. You say, well, you know what? I'm not stuck. I'm not frustrated. I'm sleeping. You know what? He said, what do you mean? Well, it just seems like that I take 10 steps forward and everything seems so good. But something happens and I take 20 steps back. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? When I look at my life, yes, there are moments of great moments, great seasons. I take 10 steps forward, but something happens. And I'm 20 steps back. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Or you might be a person, you might say, well, you know, I'm not frustrated, I'm not stuck, I'm not sleeping, I'm just afraid. Why? Because I like to be in control of things. And it's so hard for me to follow God because God wants to be in control of things. I want to be in control of things. And so I'm afraid to walk with God because it requires me to give up control. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say this morning? Or you might be saying, well, you know what? I want to, but I feel like I am empty. I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give. Well, I wrote these things down this morning just to help you this morning. I wrote these four things down some years ago, and I want to just kind of share with you. Number one thing I realized is, number one person cannot change another person. You know, I started pastoring when I was young, and I thought, wow, here I got this couple of hundred people with me. Wow, I am going to change their lives. And 2-3 years later, I went through some hard times when I realized that I cannot change anybody. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I can change my friends. I can change my church members. I cannot change somebody else. That is the biggest thing I thought in the world. I am the pastor. I am the leader. I can change these people. Listen, you cannot change anybody. Are you understanding? Sometimes we take on a mission, you know, I'm going to change that. You cannot change anybody. What do you mean? Number one, change has to begin with yourself. The reason people say to me, well, why am I this way? Well, the reason that you are this way is because you want to be that way. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Why isn't things different in my life? Because you never initiate changes in your life. Someone else says you can't do the same thing again and again and expect different results. Are you understanding? Sometimes you go to churches, you talk to people, I know this stuff. Yeah, but between knowing and doing is two different worlds. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And sometimes I talk with people, I sit down with people. Sometimes you preach a message and then people come to you, Pastor, can I talk to you privately? And all they want you to do is what you said publicly, you want them to say privately. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? You've got to initiate change in your life. If you're going to see something different, then I need to ask myself today, what do I need to change? And most of the time, it'll fall into different areas. Number one, you need to change your thinking. And number two, you need to change the people around you. You know, I tell people like this, you need two types of people in your life. You need what I call mentors, and you need what I call tormentors. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? You need both types of people in your life. You can't always be with people who you're comfortable with. You can't always be with people who you get along with, who speak the same language as you. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? If you're going to grow in life, if you're going to lay hold of the destiny that God has for your life individually and as a church corporately, then you need mentors and you need tormentors. I was a very shy person. I would never stand up people. If I stand at people like this, I would start crying. If somebody looked at me, I would start crying. I would, you know, and the last thing I ever wanted to do was preach. Because I got a heavy accent. I would never, and I was afraid of people. But when I was 17 years old, God told me, you're going to preach. And I said, if that's going to happen, then I need some tormentors. Because I'm not going to do it, because with mentors, they'll always make you feel comfortable. But only tormentors will force you Am I making sense? To be in the place and embrace changes that need to happen in your life. And so what did I do? I went and got a job as a salesman. Why? Because it requires talking to people. Why? Because I have a heavy accent. People, even when I was in school, they would ask me 10 times, Nidhi, what did you say? Why? Because I didn't know how to get along with people. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And so might as well put yourself in a tormenting situation where you're forced to talk to people, where you're forced to build relationships, where you're forced to sell things, get out of your comfort zone. Let me tell you something. When you make decisions, I tell you, you take a step forward and God meets you in that step. Sometimes what happens is we're waiting for God to meet us. Hello? And then we make a change. Listen, in Joshua chapter number 10, we find this wonderful story, Joshua. He takes a sword out and God tells him, listen, go ahead and capture your enemy. And he takes a sword out and he starts fighting. He starts fighting. As he's fighting, then the Bible says God joins him in the fight. And he rains down hailstones. And as Joshua is fighting, suddenly he finds, wow, these people are dead. Wow, these people are dead. Who killed them? The Bible says, God went before Joshua. Am I making sense? But God did not go till Joshua took a step of it and started moving. Am I making sense to you? Did not until he... In the same way, you know, I look at this building, you know, I was talking to Pastor up in the room, and you know, it was the same way. When we started, we were in a rental place. But something happened when we shifted from a rental place and got our own place. It was a step of faith. We've increased our budget. I mean, we are paying $2,500 and suddenly in 1 month's time, our budget shot up to $9,000. And how many of you, $2,500 is common sense, you know, $9,000, you're doing something wrong. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? But what? It was a stretch of faith. It was something that we stepped away because we heard the voice of God that even like Joshua, as he began to fight, God will meet us. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? God will meet us. Amen. We didn't want comfortable people around. We wanted some tormentors in our life. Why? Because please understand, those who have never killed giants will always tell you it is impossible. Hello? But those who have really killed giants, they will torment you. Say, listen, you are in a wrong place. Move on. Stretch out. Why? Because they've seen God move in their life. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And so you need to change who's around you. Am I making sense to you? Change around you. In both areas, your mentors, they brought you thus far. But you also need to get some tormentors who literally force you to become the man, to become the woman that God has designed you to be. And when you're going through changes, and let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if everybody is going through changes, but when you are going through changes, you'll always feel alone. You'll always feel alone. Can I tell you something? The biggest problem to change is feelings. The reason people don't change is feelings. And the greatest solution to change is when someone has an emotional experience. The greatest, what do you call, fuel to change is an emotional experience. I'm telling you, January starts, you probably have a big thing, you know, I want to lose weight this year. I want to be a certain size. You can start nicely and 3 weeks later, all your resolutions are gone. You can do that for years. Well, I've been trying 10 years. But let me tell you something. You have one emotional experience. Somebody gets in your face and makes fun of you. Fun of your weight, suddenly everything chips. Suddenly that emotion, it puts fuel in you, strength in you, doesn't matter what now. I am going to change. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? There's nothing like an emotional experience that will fuel, change your feeling, that'll cause you to bring changes in your life. Sometimes people don't change until they have a negative emotional experience. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And that's why when you look at the children of Israel, they walk down this path. God sent the word, they won't obey. So they went down number two. They went down number three. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Why? It was not so much God. It was so much God says, okay, you have it your way. Because you're not going to change until you have an emotional experience. When you've lost things in your life, suddenly an awakening comes. And you'll put things in your life to bring changes. Am I making sense to you? What is it in your life that you know today that you need to really change? Because you can come week after week to church, you can open the Bible, you can pray. But if you don't initiate change, nothing different will happen. Am I making sense to you? Nothing different will happen. Number two, second thing I want to share with you very quickly is this. Number one, initiate change. Number two, get over your past. Get over your past. And you know, some of you really need to hear that. So today what I want you to do is look at your neighbor right now in the eye. You know, this is what you want to say to them a long time. Okay, so here's your chance. You say, neighbor, get over your past. Amen. It's amazing how I meet people. They're constantly talking about, you know, what happened 20 years ago. Well, you know what happened 5. They're always navigating through their future based upon what has happened. Recently, I was called to talk to a young man, and they asked me to come speak to him because in America we have what they call American Idol. You know, I don't know if you're, I think you have Australian Idol. This man was a runner, like one of those guys who were the top 3 runner-up for the American Idol. And everybody in this top 3 knew that, I don't watch, so I don't understand how this all that works, but this man was supposed to be like the top 3 guy in the finals, and everybody knew among the top 3 that this man would win it. He's a young guy, I think 30, 32 years old, something like that. He would win it. I mean, everybody, they said, it's easy, he's going to win no matter what. He's going to win. I mean, because they knew, because of, he could sing in different styles and all this kind of stuff. But what had happened was, when his time came to perform, as he went and took the mic, something happened. And he could not sing and could not perform. And of course, he was feeling bad and things like that. A few months later, a friend of mine called him who knows him. He said he wants to talk to somebody that he does not know. And obviously, I don't know him, so my friend contacted me. He said, can you please talk to him? He wants to talk to somebody. I said, sure. So I didn't know all these things. So I went and sat across the table with him and asked him, what do you want to talk about? What's happening? And that's how I know that he's a singer and he was an American Idol and blah, 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 blah. He said, Licky, something happened. He said, I was about to go and sing, take hold of the mic. And as I was going, he says, one tiny little thought came into my mind. Just one thought came into my mind, and that thought completely paralyzed me. He says, I could not do anything. It completely gripped my mind and my heart, and I was paralyzed. I said, what thought? I mean, what happened? He said, as I was going up, a tiny thought came. This thing is on television. And somewhere, what if my father is watching me? I said, what? So what? He said, I have not seen my father since I was 11 years old. We never had a good relationship. Matter of fact, the only thing I had that he used to call me stupid, I'll never make it in life, and all these negative things that I have of my father. And as I was going up to grab that mic, he said, the thought came, what if my father is watching me? And it completely paralyzed me. Just imagine, a simple thought like that, because of undealt issues that were there, ruined his destiny. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? There are a lot of people. I was just sitting with somebody 3 days ago here in Perth. Just 3 days ago, I was sitting at a table with a girl. He said, Nikki, I need help. So what happened? Well, you know, I was involved in a relationship over 6-7 years with this girl, and we went to school together, and we went to high school, college together, and we were about to get married and things like that, and she walked away from my life and this, that, and he said, but you know, God touched me. I felt like God healed me. And 1 year later, I got married to someone else. And now I've been married for 3 years. And I just discovered that I'm really not healed of what had happened. I walked into one trouble, into another, without closing something that was there. Am I making sense to you? In the same manner, a lot of people, they grab onto things in life. Whether it's people that have hurt them, whether it's carrying unforgiveness, whether even their own personal mistakes and sin. It's just not, well, I'll forget about it. It's unless it's dealt with, it will keep coming back up in your life and paralyzing you. For some people, the past is a prison. Are you understanding what I mean? It has locked them. Their mistakes, their failures, or what others have done to them. A sense of betrayal, it has put them in a prison. For some people, it's an excuse. And let me tell you something. It's easy to turn failure into success than to turn excuse into possibility. And I've never met people like church people who can write a book, world famous, most selling of making excuses. Pastor, I was in church. And it's amazing the excuses people give. Not you, you people are very nice. I'm talking about America. Are you understanding what I'm doing? But some people, like the Bible, their past is not a prison, their past is not it's a springboard. They know what has happened, they can lock it up, amen, and they can use it as something that is fuel to launch them into their future. Am I making sense? Listen, and you're in a new year, you're in a new month, you're probably in a new job, but listen, what you got to do is really get over whatever has happened to let God come in and deal with it and close that area of your life. Am I making sense to you? Come on, one more time, look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, get over your past. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Why? Because you might be in relationship now. Everything is fun and flair. But let me tell you something. It's going to come up. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It's going to come up. And it's better with what has happened that we deal with it rather than to avoid it. Amen? Than to avoid it. Deal with it. Number three, very basic, I want to talk to you this morning about is this. Number three. Know what season you're in, individually, and number two, as a church. Individually and as a church. Know what, Shiniki, what do you mean? Well, you know, I don't know how it is here in Australia. Last few days, it's just been hot and hotter. In America, where I live, we have four seasons, you know. We have winter time, sometimes it snows, we have summer time, we have spring time, which is nice, and we have fall time, which is nice. And when it comes to spring time, you see all our farmland, they're just going out and digging the ground and planting seeds and things like that. During summer, they're really watering and nurturing it. During fall, they're preparing all those things, giving direction to the plants and things like that. Why? Winter is about to come. Am I making sense to you? There are different seasons. There are different responsibilities. Amen? In the same way, know what season you are in. When you're walking with God and when you're walking in towards your purpose and destination, know what season you are in. Either you are repairing or you are preparing. Amen? Know what season. And number two, don't let anybody speak down to you because they are on a different season. Number two, don't compare yourself to anybody because please understand, not everybody is in the same season as you are. For you, it might be a season of planting, and for others, it might be a season of harvest. Don't get discouraged. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Same thing happens in a church. You know, you see when you see churches. Please understand, I pastored two churches. And in a church, it is the same way. They look at other churches. It might be a different season. Because in churches, you know, church world is a funny world. Some people start churches in 5 years, fall. They've grown to, you know, 10,000 people. Other churches, they could be 10 years, they've grown to 100 people. Okay? That doesn't mean one church is successful than the other church. Are you understand? Well, what happens in a smaller church, people always compare. Look at that church. They've grown so fast. We must be doing something wrong. Are you understanding what I'm trying to do? Please understand, it's not what we're doing. It's understanding our season. Are you understanding what I'm doing? It's understanding our season and not to compare ourselves with what's happening in other seasons in other people's life. It might be their harvest season. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Please understand, every animal, every plant has its own season of harvest, own season of production. Are you understanding? Own season of fruitfulness. Amen? And so you can't compare one church with the other church. You can't compare your life to somebody else's life. Well, you know, look at that person. He got saved 10 years ago, just the time I got saved. But it seems like he's doing so much better in their walk with God. They might be. Bless them. Thank God for them. Amen? But you worry about what season you are in. Am I making sense? And not to beat yourself over it, but to enjoy the season that you're going through. Amen? Because as long as you are willing and obedient, the Bible says, you shall eat good of the land. Amen? And that's what the Bible says. Don't do anything with grumbling and complaining. Amen? Keep those things out. Don't compare. Why? Please understand, we walk by the season that is there in our life. If there's anything that causes people to move away from their destiny, it's distractions in their life. Why? Because they are looking at other people's life. They're looking at other churches. And they move away from the place that God planted them. Whether it's their business, whether it's... I can't tell you how many people. They got a good job, but they were distracted. Why? Because they saw their friends. Oh, my friend, they're moving to such and such a country. Why? They're more pay there. And they moved and destroyed their families. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Stay in your season. Your season might be longer than others. That's not important, the length of it. The length of it, what's important is the place of it. Am I making sense to you? If there's anything I can tell you this morning to people, listen, know what season you're in. Stay in it. Put your feet down on it. Guard yourself in it. Amen? Guard yourself in it. God, if you do that, you know, I remember a story in America. We have what you call the Borden family, B-O-R-D-E-N. They're a very wealthy family. They've been wealthy for hundreds of years. And back in the early part of the century, William Borden was a young man. He got out of high school, went to college, and for his graduation gift, the parents gave him a ticket and money to travel all around the world. Because as soon as you come back from it, we want you to take over the family business. So go and travel for the next year all over the world. And so he took the privilege and traveled all around the world. But something happened to his heart. Something happened to his heart. He didn't want to take over the business. He wanted to work for God. There's something happened when he went to China, and especially the Muslims that were... Something happened that he wanted to work among the Chinese Muslims that were there. He came back and he told his parents, listen, I don't want to take over the family business. I'll help here and there, but listen, I really feel to spend my life to do work for the kingdom of God. They were very disappointed. They said, well, you know, we are influenced. We got money. You can go to this place, that place. You can run this. Look at our generation. Listen, beyond that, I feel there is something inside of me that God is touching for this nation. I want to do that. They tried left and right. He moved away from the house, went to Egypt to learn Arabic and things like that. And of course, he never made it to his place, but he walked that direction of his life. When he died, he wrote three words on his Bible before he died. These three words were very powerful. He wrote words like, number one, no reserves. That means everything that I've got till now, I did not reserve anything. I gave it out. Whether it's my time, whether it's my energy, whatever I knew, I gave it out for people. Number two, he wrote this word on the Bible. No retreat. That means, listen, I'm not making any decision that I'm going to go back. I'm always going to go forward. There's no retreat. I made that decision. No retreat. And I like the third one. He says, no regrets. So I made a decision. Up till now, I've got no regrets in the decisions I made to follow God. Wow. I look at my life and I say, how about your life? Can you say, no reserves. Everything that God put in my life, I let it go out of my life for others. Am I making sense to you? Not only no reserves, no retreat. I'm not going back to it. I'm constantly changing to move the direction that God wants me to. No retreat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And no regrets. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you something? You can have a year with no regrets. You can have a year with no retreat. You can have a year with no reserve. Just let your life be used by God and for God. Am I making sense to you? Amen. Number three, I want to say to you this morning is this. Simple thing. Number three, initiate change. Number two, get over your past. And number three, build your self-worth. Build your self-worth. It's Nikki, what do you mean? Write this down. A very simple thing, but write this down. When you think and speak negative about yourself, when you think and speak negative about yourself, you put yourself in disagreement with God. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? When you speak and think negative about yourself, you put yourself in a position of disagreement with God, because God thinks otherwise about you. Are you understanding? And where there is disagreement, there is strife. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It's important that we build our self-worth of who we are. Isn't it amazing? Throughout the scriptures, whenever God called somebody, they always fought with their self-worth. Always. Gideon, you mighty man of war. No, Lord, I'm just a tiny little thing. From an unknown clan. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Lord, I cannot speak. Lord, I have got unclear. They always, please understand. You know, I like David in the Bible. David knew some things about him and God. Matter of fact, I like this verse in Psalm 60 verse 5. It says, when David was in trouble, he went to God. This is how David spoke to God. It says, God, your beloved is in trouble. Imagine this. He goes to God and says to God, God, your beloved, he's talking about himself. Your beloved is in trouble. Suddenly God comes to deliver him. While today's people go like this. God, you know, I'm the scum of the earth. I'm like the worst sinner. I'm like this. I'm like that. Hello, somebody. Listen, go to God based on not what you think about yourself, but what he thinks about you. Amen. That you are the apple of his eye. That you are beloved. Amen. You are beloved. Can I ask you a question? If you're a father and a mother in this place and you've got kids in the house, let me ask you a question. Please, you don't need to answer. Just talk to yourself. What kind of atmosphere are your children growing up in? I mean, is it as well that there's constant criticism? You know, recently in New York, a 8-year-old, made the news. Because a question was asked in the class to write down on a piece of paper. And among all the answers, this boy actually went on the news because of his answer. They asked him, what do you want to be in 5 or 10 years? And so different people, the kids 8 years old, they wrote down certain things. This. But this guy's answer made it to the news. Why? He said, what do you want to be in 5 years? What do you want to be in 10 years? Just write, He just wrote this one word called alive. He said, in 5 years, I want to be alive. Why? Because everything that he was seeing on TV, everything that was happening in the house, gave him a picture, an idea, we might not be here. With all the terrorism going on, with all the people that can't afford to pay their bills and things like that, we might not be here. And the 8-year-old writes, 5 years, I just want to be alive. You know, I tell you, I've been traveling in many, many countries. I tell you, I've sat across people, I'm telling you, if I told you a story, just what happened in the last 3 months, it'll blow your mind. I got people who are I got friends who are multi-millionaires. Outside their house, there are at least 4 to 6 planes parked. But within 2 or 3 weeks, they have to shut everything down and move to a small 2-bedroom apartment. Who had multi-millions of dollars, something came and just knocked them out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And they're questioning, where are they? What are they doing? Please understand, it doesn't take much. It doesn't matter how much security you build in the world, how much money, all it takes is one person to pull the carpet under your feet and you're knocked down. And at that time, the only thing you got is, what does God think about you? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? The only confidence you got is you go before God because you are a son and you are a daughter. And the Bible says, that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Amen? Especially his son and his daughter. Especially someone who thinks, wow, I am valuable to God. God values me. When everybody has walked out, and I'm not talking about ungodly people, I'm talking about good, godly Christian people who have built their self-worth based on stuff, not based upon what God thinks about them. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Not what God thinks about them. So I want to encourage you this morning. When you get up in the morning, you take the scriptures, you take what God says about you, and say it to yourself. Amen? That I cannot be confused. I have the mind of Christ. Amen? I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not below. I am 10 times wiser than the world. Amen? God is involved in my life. I am His beloved. Amen? He is involved watching over my life, directing my life. I am a success in God's eyes. Amen? I will fulfill the destiny and the call of God upon my life. Amen? It is important that you open your mouth and bring in line. You know, in America we have what we call central AC and heating, just like these things right here. But of course there's a big unit outside. And of course you have it here in some places. And what an air conditioning unit does is, somewhere along the wall, there's what we call a thermostat. You know? And it doesn't matter what's happening. When you walk in, it might be like, 40 degrees inside. But what you do, you go to that thermostat, and you press that button until whatever you want to see temperature. Maybe you want to see 22 degrees or 18 degrees. And when you look at the thermostat, it says 18 degrees. But it still feels like 40. Why? Because you just said it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when you set it, what happens is, outside, there are some big, big machines. Those machines get to work. And they do not stop until the temperature inside matches with what's on that thermostat. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? It could be freezing cold. Okay? You walk in the place, it could be freezing cold, and you can go to that thermostat and change that thermostat to say 32 degrees or 28 degrees, 38 degrees, and those big machines get to working until what's the atmosphere matches what's on that thermostat. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? In the same way, your mouth is a thermostat. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? When you open your mouth and you begin to declare that, I cannot be confused. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. I have not said, I am healed in the name of Jesus. When you see it, people are looking at your thermostat and they say, you're lying. You're sick. What they don't understand is, I'm setting my thermostat. Hello? And I got big 3 machines out there. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, using the word. Amen. To bring in line the sickness that is there to eliminate it, to bring my line towards in my thermostat, the word of God that is coming out of my line, out of my mouth. Am I making sense? Do you? I begin to declare over my family. I begin to declare over the church that, you know, we are a growing church. There is life. We are a healthy church. It doesn't look like, it doesn't matter. I am setting the thermostat. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? When I set the thermostat, God gets to working. Why? Because you're not speaking any word. Please understand, the Bible says this. The Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed. Or all scripture is inspired. You know, I like the Greek language because the Greek language is like the Chinese language. It paints a picture. The Greek language, it means that you take a balloon and you blow into it. When you blow the balloon, what has happened? Not only air has gone in when I blow the balloon, but something of me has gone in. My molecules have gone in. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And so now that balloon carries something of me inside of it. In the same way, the Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed. That means like a balloon, something of God is in the word. His molecules are in the word. That's why the word is powerful. It's just not you're saying words. It is him in the words. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why it's powerful. That's why I can open my mouth and say, I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a prosperous person in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a person that grabs hold of the destiny of God and fulfills it. Amen. I am a success in life. I am a person that people look at and say, wow, the joy of the Lord is coming out of his. It doesn't look like, it might not look like it, but listen, I'm setting my thermostat. And I trust God to get to work, to bring my life in line with what the word of God says. Amen. And so I always, when I pray, I know myself well. And as the Bible says, you have this confidence that when we pray according to his will. Amen. There is a confidence that is built. There is a self-worth that, listen, I deserve this. Why? Because I'm a son or I'm a daughter. Amen. I tell you, nowhere else like today's day, I find people who know how to beat themselves up. Anything happens, no, I'm like this. I'm not. It's amazing. We kill our kids when they're small. You little rascal. So they grow up to be little rascals. Because you're setting the thermostat over their life. Hello? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Build your self-worth by setting your thermostat. Am I making sense? Setting your thermostat. Let me close by saying this to you this morning. In Pasadena, in California, there are what they call the fish canaries. And it was really heaven for the pelicans because the pelicans moved in that area. Why? Because they really didn't have to hunt. Because fish were everywhere. I mean, they would sit on these poles, just drop down, pick up, eat. Drop down, pick. They really didn't have to go hunting for fish. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? They really didn't have to go deep. Because fish were everywhere. But what happened in a period of few years, these pelicans who became large and fat, eating every day, they didn't know how to hunt or anything like that. Because fish were right there. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And they just kept eating every day and becoming fat. But over a period of time, there were no more fish. And these pelicans could not hunt. Why? Because they didn't need to for all these years. Everything was just given to them. Are you understanding what I mean? And so they were really going extinct in that area. And so all the people, I guess the sign, what are those environmental people, they got worried. That suddenly these pelicans are dying, you know, they can't get food, they can't go. Although it's there deep in the water, but they don't know how to hunt. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And suddenly they got an idea. You see, what they did is they went to another side of the country, they picked up a lot of pelicans and moved them to this area. Why? Because these other pelicans, they knew how to hunt. Nothing was just given to them. Are you understanding what I mean? They knew how to fly. They knew how to scan the water and pick up the fish and eat. And so what they did, they took the pelicans and released them in this area that was going extinct. And so what happened? These other pelicans who were not good hunters, who were, you know, who were getting extinct, they started flying with these other pelicans. they started hunting with this other place, and suddenly they changed their whole entire destiny. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It is the same way in your life. When you look at your life and say, well, there are some things not really happening, you might say, well, you know what, I'm really struggling in my marriage. Well, then find somebody who's really doing good in the marriage and start associating with them. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Or you might say, well, I'm really struggling in my life. I really don't know what the direction I have for my... I think I'm going to do this. I'm telling you, no time I've seen people confused like today. What are you going to do with your life? Well, maybe this, maybe that. My uncle used to do this, my so-and-so. But they have no clear set of direction for their lives. Are you understanding? Find somebody who's got clear direction. Hang out with them. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Please understand, relationships are like bank accounts. You can't make a withdrawal until you make some deposits. And please understand, everything in your life is connected to people. Every success that you're going to have is connected to people. And they might not be people you like. Can I tell you something? If you're going to grow beyond a measure, you need people. Not every people, you need the right people. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? You're going to walk in a new season of your life, you need a person. I always tell people this, when God wants to bless you, He brings a person in your life. When God wants to protect you, He removes a person. And so if somebody's gone, say bye-bye. And move on. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Because God is really trying to protect His investment in your life. Am I making sense to you? Can I tell you as I close? Prepare yourself for new relationships. Am I making sense? Because every growth in life is based on people. Every success in life is based on people. Every progress that you're going to make is based on people. And it might not be the people that you like. Every victory is based on people. I mean, Saul was a king. David was a shepherd boy. They had nothing same. We had to learn to welcome David in his life. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I want to encourage you this morning as I close. Welcome some new people in your personal life. Say, God, help me this year to extend my boundaries of relationships and not just hang out with people that I like the same thing that I like, but people who really push me for growth. Am I making sense, dear? Push me from growth. Please understand, Abraham, the Bible says he had Lot with him. And every name in the Bible, it means, it has meaning. And in the name Lot, it means a veil. You know something, you see Middle Eastern people, they put a veil. That's what the name Lot means, veil. And when he got rid of Lot, veil, the Bible says, suddenly the next verse says, God came to him and said, Abraham, now lift up your eyes and see. He could not see until certain people left. Can I tell you something? Get rid of some people in your life. Because there are some people holding you back. And open yourself for some new people in your life. It's very hard to get rid of people who are connected to emotionally. And so it's important. One of the best things you can ever do after you get saved, get filled in the Holy Spirit, and join a church, ask God to help you. Lord, help me. I'm not talking about evil people. I'm talking about good, godly people. Lord, help me to discern who's supposed to be in my life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It'd be amazing to see how many people, their view is blocked based on people in their life. I'm not talking about ungodly people, but they are godly people. Because they fail to discern people who don't walk and share the passion that they share. Am I making sense to you? And so I encourage you, get some new relationships in life and you will grow. Amen? All right, let's close this morning. Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy.
I thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit in my life. I thank you for the Holy Spirit in this church that you watch over. And this morning I thank you, Lord, I've done my part of what you put in my heart. And Lord, I pray for every person in this place right now. That you would speak to them in the point of their need right now. Lord, I've done my part. You do your part, I pray. Of watching over your word, I pray. You know, maybe you're a person this morning that as you're hearing the word of God, you know that there are issues that have not been settled in your life. They're undealt with. Even as I was talking about get over your past, you can see clearly in your own life. Maybe people have hurt you and you say, I'm stuck. I just can't seem to get past this. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're like that today. If you're like that, then just respond to God. Just respond to God. Wherever you are, you can just either stand or just lift up your hands before the Lord. And I just want to pray for you.